Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor, doctor, Mr. MD, doctor, now can you tell me?
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical engineer Frank and I have a great show. We are going to be talking about some DNA code rewrite. Oh yeah, the scientists are up to it. I'm going to tell you what's going on. Also, we're going to be talking about infectious diseases a little bit, and maybe if we get time, some herbs that help your liver out. So we'll see how the hour goes. Got a lot of stuff to cover. We do have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting them up in prayer, lifting America up in prayer. I'm praying God's hand be on America to heal this land. That's right. You know, we're Americans. You know, we don't need to be fighting ourselves, you know, divide and conquer. Let's not have none of that. Let's pray against that. And I did bring my devotional, And today's devotional is from Psalms 34, Peter 1, John 17, and Psalms 139. It goes like this. I am with you and all around you, encircling you in golden rays of light. I always behold you face to face. Not one of your thoughts escapes my notice, because I am infinite. I am able to love you as if you and I were the only ones in the universe. Walk with me in intimate love steps, but do not lose sight of my majesty. I desire to be your closest friend, yet I am also your sovereign Lord. I created your brain with capacity to know me as friend and Lord simultaneously. The human mind is the pinnacle of my creation, so few use it for its primary purpose in knowing me. I communicate continually through my spirit, my word, and my creation. Only humans are capable of receiving me and responding to my presence. You are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. So seek the Lord's face. Tell him you appreciate him. You need him. You can't live without him. And, find salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker, CDC is investigating multi-state ground beef E. coli outbreak. Apparently, a lot of states have recall on ground beef, veal, and bison. It was issued after seven people got ill from eating E. coli contaminated meat products from Massachusetts-based Adams Farm Slaughterhouse. Of the seven people that got sick, five had to be hospitalized. So the E. coli outbreak has reached four states: Connecticut, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. E. coli infections can lead to some really bad kidney failure, but none of those that have become ill have been diagnosed with that condition. So the recall products were shipped to farmers market, retailers, restaurants in Massachusetts, Connecticut, and eastern New York, but some has also been shipped to neighboring states. So FYI there. Moving along in the quacker, let's see, the Zika hoax continues. Some evidence that Zika virus causes birth defects is kind of weak, because it's based on epidemiological statistics and not rigorous scientific study. The CDC is maintaining that the Zika infection during pregnancy results in the microcephaly, with severe birth defects causing small circumference and smaller head and brain size. But this link between Zika and birth defects has come into question over the summer after Brazilian doctors admitted that there has to be another cause to blame, because the expected outbreak of defects never occurred. They quote, this is from Fatima Marino, director of the Brazilian Health Ministry. She says, we suspect that something more than Zika virus is causing these severity of cases. Zika infections continue to rise, but birth defects did not. It's interesting that a New England Journal of Medicine report said that they observed 12,000 pregnant women that were infected with Zika living in Colombia. None of them had babies with microcephaly. But Planned Parenthood's jumping on this in South Miami. They're running door to door telling people in infected areas about abortion services. So based on the estimated numbers, we should have about 60,000 pregnant women in Colombia with Zika virus and cases of microcephaly. So they think Zika from mosquitoes isn't the cause. And they'd be right, because Zika virus is an innocuous virus. It doesn't create a problem for us, really. All right, moving along in the quack report. World's first baby, speaking of babies, born to three parents, according to a new technique. It's a boy, 5-month-old, was the first baby that was born using a technique that incorporates DNA from three people, in the report in the New Scientist. The conventional technique allows parents with rare genetic mutations to have healthy babies, but this technique is only legally approved in the UK. So the method that was approved, it's called pronuclear transfer. It involves fertilizing both the mother's egg and a donor egg with the father's sperm before the fertilized egg starts to divide into early stage embryos. The nucleus is removed, and then the nucleus from the donor's fertilized egg is discarded and replaced by the mother's fertilized egg. So last time this technique was tried was in the 1990s. The babies went on to develop some genetic disorders, and that's why the technique was banned in the United States. Last but not least in the Quack Report, cameras can spot your hidden prejudice now just by reading your body language. That's right. A computer program, they say now, that can unmask and scrutinize people's body language for signs of prejudice is in the works. Algorithms can accurately read people's emotions from their facial expressions or speech patterns, but a team of researchers in Italy have tried to uncover people's hidden racial bias by writing an algorithm for a computer for scientists at the University of Modena. So the example is that they found that people had strong hidden racial bias if they kept a bigger distance between themselves and the people they were biased against. But people who were unbiased were more comfortable with their conversations. They seemed to pause more in their speech pattern, and they used their hands more when they would speak. So, well, we'll see. That wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Maybe we should unleash the algorithm there and see what Hillary's thinking. All right, we're gonna move along and talk about. We got a big topic today. I might run over my first half of the hour break, so be aware. Lots of stuff. We're going to talk about the DNA code that scientists are rewriting. According to science, the average human has 37 trillion cells, and each cell holds information, which, you know, makes a complete human being. So the human DNA is said to contain 3 billion letters, and this dictates your eye, your skin, your hair color, as well as your height, your blood type, and all those other characteristics that make up who you are. Now, for decades, scientists and biologists thought that the possibility of rewriting human DNA code was nearly impossible due to its complexities. Now, for this reason, the area of science has really not updated their ethic codes to protect human DNA. And apparently, changing the DNA of animals and disease is fair game, but changing human DNA was for the most part off the table. But that was then, and today, scientists are boldly taking on God's role in creation and attempting to modify human DNA to perfect it. Now, industry insiders call it the geneticist engine, and the arguments given by research scientists and doctors for manipulating human DNA is that the research is going to offer humanity a disease-free, mutation-free, and disability-free future. Yeah, remember the promises on, you know, antibiotics is, you know, death to bacteria, no more bacterial infections. Right. Okay, so National Geographic and Newsweek writer Amy Maxman, she says this about all this research on, you know, rewriting DNA human code. She says it will get out of hand. End of quote. I agree, Amy. I'm with you, girl. It is going to be, there'll be no words. Let me read you this quote from 1975 Alan Somer Conference in California. This was posted on Wired.com, and it goes like this. Few fretted about the idea of modifications of the human DNA changes, as most thought it was so far off as to be unrealistic. Engineering microbes was hard enough, so the rulemakers really didn't look much further ahead than the ideas and proposals already on their desks, end of quote. So he's referring to nobody covered the ethics area very well, writing, you know, ethics proposals and things that would be legal when it comes to your human DNA. So scientists in the past, you know, if they created anything that threatened mankind, the established oversight prevented science from being allowed to continue down that road. But after 1975, the oversight seems to have had acid poured all over it to dissolve it away, opening the door for unrestricted forward thinking. All right, let's look at the backbone of DNA. According to the scientists James Watson, Francis Crick, and Rosalind Franklin, with regard to your human DNA, there are four different structures, and it's all held together by sugar and phosphate in different sequences to establish your human genes and the basis of heredity. So artificially manipulating DNA will hinder or prevent people from tracing their ancestors through DNA. Here's a quote from David Baltimore. He's a genetic researcher at MIT. He says this: being able to decrypt and reorder genes, essentially having godlike power, and plug genes from one living thing to another, if used wisely, it could offer the potential to save lives. If such knowledge slips out of control, it suggests areas that need to be declared off limits, end of quote. Yeah, yeah. So what science is really tinkering with is genome engineering. So editing human genes as if it were a term paper is what science is attempting to do. And scientists brag that they will rewrite the genetic basis of life from protein to bacteria to people. Wow. Here is another quote from David Baltimore. He says, "These are monumental moments in the history of biomedical research. They don't happen every day," end of quote. Well, I'll say, well, in August 2016, the National Institute of Health was taking steps to lift the ethical ban on research involving using embryos that are part of human and part animal research, you know, mixing human and animals together. So the U.S. federal government announced that animal-human embryo research will be funded by taxpayers. So the National Institute of Health plans to move forward with this controversial experiment of using human stem cells to create animal embryos to create a part human creation. I think they call them chimeras. I think that's how you pronounce them. Now, this research intends to create animals with human brains, with human consciousness, and thinking capabilities. This is where they're going with this. They also aim to empower their creations to have human sperm and eggs in order to breed and produce human embryos or fetuses inside hybrid animal creations. And, you know, you would think I was reading something from you know, a script to a sci-fi movie right there. But this is what they're doing. Now, apparently, the scientists do not want to acknowledge the threat to human life this creates. Because animals are predatory by nature. And if you offer animals the human intelligence and problem-solving and premeditation thinking, well, I think you're going to open Pandora's box. So think about a gorilla with human intelligence. You know, five times the strength of a man. Isn't that what a gorilla has? Five times? Maybe it's more. Can you imagine? You know, they're going to create something so hideous and dangerous that mankind won't survive it. However, the population's not supposed to know their true intent. And what you're told is that the research is going to offer new insights into preventing diseases and human disabilities. Well, it might. But this dark side is going to evolve also. So with the corruption that has infiltrated the scientific and healthcare industries, we need more than just ethical committees and laws. You know, laws are words on paper, and they're for good people, sort of like locks on doors. So, you know, we're going to need God's help to prevent this danger. So we're all going to have to put it on our prayer list. Here is a quote from Carrie Wallenitz, NIH Associate Director, National Institute of Health. She says this, I am confident that these proposed changes will enable the National Institute of Health research community to move this promising area of science forward in a responsible manner. At the end of the day, we want to make sure this research progresses because it's very important to our understanding of disease. It's important to our mission to improve human health, end of quote. Okay, here's a quote also by Pablo Ross. He's a developmental biologist at the University of California. He says this, it's very, very welcome news that the National Institute of Health will consider funding for this type of research, like growing human organs in farm animals, end of quote. I'm sorry, that just sounds hideous. Lastly, let's see, Stuart Newman, biologist, New York Medical College, he says this, science fiction writers might have imagined this. So there have been speculations, but now they're becoming more real. And I think that we just can't say that since it's possible, then let's just do it, end of quote. Well, true, I agree with Stuart there. I think Newman's criticism is pretty accurate because in 1977, do you remember? Back in 1977, the movie Star Wars premiered, and if you saw the movie, you might recall the canteen scene where the movie heroines were surrounded by various human animal creatures. And it may be very possible that, you know, science has been chomping at the bit to get its hands on human DNA to make life imitate art. Now, personally, I think scientists have been tinkering with genome engineering and combining human-animal experiments on the down low for decades. If not in the U.S., it's been in other countries. I think they've been doing it a while. All right, let's look at the research thus far. So the genome engineering that's been released in the press for you to know about for positive reception has been, you know, finding and eliminating the cause for blindness, identifying how cancer cells multiply, identifying the virus cells that cause AIDS, and genetic modification of crops to protect them from pests and mildew. So that's what you've been digesting and mulling around in your head to, you know, nudge you in that direction of a positive light for all this genetic stuff. Okay? So what most universities are involved in, they're all involved in some kind of genome engineering process because of the potential for patents, Nobel Prize notoriety, and money. Therefore, perilous work be damned. And anything a genetic researcher can dream up is on the table. So designer babies, bioweapons, superhuman soldiers, mutant creations, etc. I'm not exaggerating here. The point is there are no more rules, despite the disclaimers that are being rolled out. And you have to admit, it was inevitable that science would expand its research after crossbreeding animals, genetically modifying food, and it's expected that the next realm that they would want to conquer is human. So as technology moves forward, so will man's imagination to unravel the origins of life. Now, to scientists, this is a natural occurrence because few of them believe in creation, and most scientists are evolutionists. Now, I'm not saying all of them, but most of them are. They don't believe in God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. They don't believe in that. They believe in the Big Bang Theory. They believe we evolved from apes, and so on and so on. Well, here is a quote from Fang Zheng, molecule biologist. He's at MIT. He says this, companies who want to work with anything other than microbes will have the financial benefits of license and patents. Royalties could be worth billions and resulting products billions more. In 1983, Columbia University scientist patented a method of introducing foreign DNA into cells. It was called co-transformation. And by the time the test patients died in 2000, they had made $790 million in revenue. Wow. Zhang also goes on to say, if new genes that wipe out malaria also make mosquitoes go extinct, well, what will bats eat? End of quote. So what he's trying to say is everything's connected, you know? And if you're doing it just for money, you're going to ruin everything, the entire planet. Okay, now George Church, he's a Harvard professor, also a San Diego researcher at MIT. He goes, big talk from scientists who say they plan to bring back an extinct woolly mammoth by deriving genes from frozen corpses and injecting them into elephant embryos is tinkering with unintended consequences. Science gives people power, and power is unpredictable. End of quote. And also, Napa Research says this, if congressional leadership and legislation is unforgiving, and once you pass it, it's very hard to undo, then keep that in mind when messing with genetics. Well said, Napa. All right. Well, I know I'm coming to a break real quick, but let me fit this in. Have you heard that China has some cutting-edge DNA editing? Have you heard about this? It was all over the news recently. In July of 2016, China announced its researchers are able to edit adult human DNA using a CRISPR tool, C-R-I-S-P-R, a CRISPR tool. And they're able to cut out faulty DNA from cells. So they have used this technique on human embryos, and they are using this to treat genetic diseases and some diseases that are not responding to standard therapies like lung cancer. So the ethical concern some have is that using a CRISPR gene editing technique will cause genetic changes to sperm and eggs for future generations. And critics feel the technique will ultimately lead to designer babies. And it appears that this research is able to edit DNA in a cell's genome, and any genetic information can be deleted. So this technique has been nicknamed molecular scissors. And at this juncture, science has not been able to successfully add genetic information in place of what it's been deleted. You know, cut and paste kind of thing. That's what their goal is. Okay, so Anja Smith is a researcher at Pharmacon. It's a GE life science division, and she says this, we now have a way to easily make changes directly to the genome. You can go directly into the cell itself and make changes to genes. This is a very new technology, and we are not necessarily sure what editing one part of the DNA will do to another part of the cell. So she says, so if you're targeting gene Z, but you are accidentally also targeting gene Y and Z, she said the answer to this is unknown, and it's pretty scary. End of quote. Also, Peter Carr, he's a bioengineer at MIT. He says, it's not easy, but we can engineer life at profound scales. Well, be careful what you wish for is what I'm saying here. And, you know, I've got more, and I can see it's about time for a break. So when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about how they're planning to edit infections. We'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask, robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, herb medicine options, coming up next.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Wendy Wilson, and you know, we're talking about this rewriting the DNA code of humans. Scientists are getting real technical. They have new techniques, they have new tools. They're going to be exploring the possibilities, and that's what scares me. All right, so before the break, I said the next thing that we're going to do is look at rewriting diseases and infections. So one area science it wants to really explore with their new knowledge and technology of gene manipulation is to rewrite the genetic code for bacteria and viruses, making them, quote, difficult for them to replicate or spread. Sounds good, right? but it is called genetically recoding organisms, or GRO. And one concern from critics is that recoded bacteria could produce a new generation of toxins, and since it would be resistant to viruses, it would have an advantage in the environment. So the concept has the potential of creating plagues so great that it could damage ecological systems and threaten all life. Doesn't sound good there. That sounds like end of the world stuff. So it is really not hard to imagine. The real goal science has with all this technology really is to clone humans, to take DNA from deceased humans and clone them, and to take DNA from fossils and clone extinct species. That's what they want to do. I'm not kidding. The unethical ones, anyway. Well, you know, what happened in ancient times? Look, I can't remember. We learn things from history. You know, if you believe scripture, you may recall that when all of man on the planet spoke one language, that he became so advanced it threatened mankind. And God was concerned that if he did not step in, that nothing would be withheld from the imagination of man's heart. So if you're reading scripture, you realize that the people of ancient Babylon were trying to be God, and God had to confound them with new languages. And isn't it interesting that we now have technology that can instantly translate languages, and we also have these huge databases of genetic knowledge shared globally by scientists. So what might mankind do with that knowledge? Well, we already know. Scripture tells us that it will get out of hand. And God, once again, is going to have to step in, or, quote, no flesh would be saved alive. So we got problems coming down the pike. See, got to be ready for that. So knowledge is power, and some kinds of knowledge can be a two-edged sword, and I think science is holding that two-edged sword. And some knowledge can offer empowerment that is a gift from God. And I have found that his herbs are one of those empowering gifts. And God promises that herbs are for our service and for healing. If you look in Psalms 104 and Revelation 22, you'll see that. And we also know God can't lie. So with that knowledge in mind, it is a blessing to have herbs and know how to use them. So there's going to come a day when you will need this knowledge. And I think now's the time to learn it. You know, it's definitely now's the time. Now, a good place to start is the ebook, The Power Herbs, and it's just $14.99 at thepowerherbs.com. And in this ebook, you're going to learn what herbs remove toxins and boost your immune system. You'll also learn how to make some simple herbal tinctures. Now, if you want to have the herbs on hand, they're going to help with plagues and pandemics, forced vaccinations, and a bunch of common illnesses, then you might want to call the experts, Apothecary Herbs, and they got a bunch of products you can order, or you can get their free product catalog and look through there. You can also visit them online and peruse what they have at thepowerherbs.com. But their number to call is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. That's 704-885-0277. Or visit the website, thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless because it puts the power back in your hands. They do have money-saving coupons on their website, but you can ask about that over the phone. And coming in October next month, 2016, brand new mobile navigational website. We're all excited about it. We're putting the finishing touches on the site. And also the new product catalog will be out next month as well. So we're trying to get those things to synchronize, come out at the same time, and empower each and every one of you out there. Yep. All right, so just to give you a little sneak peek, spoiler alert, I guess, in the product catalog, some We've expanded the sizes on some of the formulas because you have asked for larger sizes on those herbal liquids. So many of the formulas will now be available in 8-ounce real refill bottles. So that's cool. For long-term use, you'll save money that way. I got to keep some surprises. I am. I'm going to shut my mouth, and you're just going to have to get a catalog and see what else is in there, okay? All right, we're going to be talking about infections, a lot of advancements in the sector of public health supposed to protect us with our battle against infections, you know, the betterment of scientific healthcare. You know, the bottom line is more infection means more money to the healthcare industry, if you think about it. Nearly 50 years ago, infections like HIV, AIDS, Ebola, Lyme's disease, Nipah virus, SARS, that severe acute respiratory syndrome, and all these other zoonotic animal pathogens, they weren't known. You know, that was like not even on the radar. So all these things in the last 50 years have just kind of come into manifestation, being a little help from our scientists. So with each year, there seems to be some new discovery of a disease that can, you know, severely impact humanity, some sort of pandemic, something we have to add to the flu shot, you know, something. Zika this year, you watch. I'm going to predict they're going to add Zika virus to the flu vaccine eventually. All right, so besides all the deadly pathogens, there are a lot of other ways that, you know, illness is created. We got corruption in our food sources, our water. Medicine has really created this whole circle of what I call slow death by disease and so forth. We got some communicable diseases now rearing their ugly heads. Not only do we have an outbreak of asthma issues, cardiovascular dysfunction, people suffering from depression, autism, diabetes, arthritis issues, digestive problems, immune system disorders, endocrine gland disease, you know, just about every disease you can think of that affects our organs. I mean, on top of that, we've got now leprosy, tuberculosis, scarlet fever, all because of the immigrant issue. So we have to pray it up here. We have to ask God for his special protection. Psalms 91, when you crack open that Bible, read Psalms 91. It's a special prayer of protection from disease and war. Plagues, arrows flying through the air, everything. You want to ask God to hide you under the shadow of his wings and be your shield and buckler. So, you know, no matter how close something gets, he's going to protect you. Say, you know, not going to come into your home. Not going to affect you that way. I always pray that God's, you know, put his hedges and his warring angels and his shields and his encampment about me, people I care about, America, you know, the brethren. So we need to, the reason I pray like that is, you know, God's words don't come back void. So use God's words. He likes to hear them. And he blesses. All right, let's look at some of the statistics. According to the World Health Organization, the non-communicable diseases are what they call slow death illnesses. And it leads the world by 63% of the diseases. So we have like 36 million people worldwide dying a slow death by these communicable diseases. So of the 36 million, 80% are low and middle income people in societies worldwide. So according to Virginia Ladd, who's the president of the executive director of the American Autoimmune Disease Association, she says, with the rapid increase in autoimmune diseases, it clearly suggests that environmental factors are at play due to the significant increase in these diseases. Genes do not change in such a short period of time. Well, Virginia, a little push from science and vaccinations have caused the autoimmune disease issue. All right, a lot of virologists already know that. Some tell the truth and speak out, and of course they're blackballed and hated by their colleagues, but hey, they had the guts to stand up. It's, you know, it's important that you research everything and seek out truth. Pray about it. Ask God to show you the truth. I pray every day that God allows me to speak the Lord's truth here on this show. All right. There's this zoo pool. Scientists know that disease in the animal kingdom are vast and can present opportunities for an increased spreading of infection, and thereby they can get patents and Nobel Prize, and of course, billions in products that they can develop to protect you from their newly created zoonotic upheaval. Now, for instance, science has used the rodent hantavirus or the bird flu influenza, the H5N1, and it's documented that very few animal pathogens are able to gain access to humans because they don't adapt to transmit the pathogen to multiply and spread. So what science has gone in with their DNA coding and disease manipulation is to change the receptors so that humans receive animal diseases. Okay? They've changed the receptors on the diseases, and then they launch the disease. So that's why so many animal pathogens seem now to be jumping the gap over to humans when they didn't normally used to do that. But, you know, science is saying it's an evolutionary thing. It's just happening. It's how disease evolves. Here's a quote from Stephen Morse, PhD, Columbia University. He says, "We know what is responsible for emerging infections, and we should be able to prevent them." He concludes, "Through global surveillance, diagnostics, research, and above all, the political will to make them happen." So Mark Woolhouse and Eleanor Gaunt of the University of Edinburgh have produced a catalog of 1,400 human pathogen species. And of them, 87 species have been recorded since 1980. And these seem to be what they call novel pathogens. They have noted the emergence of a broad host range, making the potential for human transmission viable. So these researchers expect that out of the 1,400 pathogens, 500 will jump the animal kingdom to the human kingdom and make human-to-human transmission possible, so spread the infection. So of these 500, they predict 150 of these pathogens will have the potential to create epidemic-level diseases. So what's worse is these pathogens will mutate to create new infectious disease at the rate of 3 per year. So scientists have been working to overcome the challenges of new pathogens to become established in a new host and achieve efficient transmission. You talk about an endless supply of illness and patients to treat. So this big gene pool is what they're tweaking, messing with. So another approach medicine is working on is to focus on the three W's, the what, why, and where infectious disease emerge, and then capitalize on that. Mind you, science promotes this research as a way to, quote, prevent disease from happening. But at the University of California, Davis, they have been experimenting with a process that generates new pathogens. So now why would they want to add to the pathogen risk pool? Why would they want to add new infectious diseases? Well, I think they like to create disease to sell their version of the prevention drug, you know, mo infection, mo money. So the three W's, why they are trying to answer, is through the field of what they call polygenetics. And it's a way to generate new pathogens through genome sequences. So researchers are experimenting with these complex genes of three different species, and the process tries to break down the genomes and their codes, which up till now it's been kind of limited. So the scientists call this research of the genomes the tree of life. And the genomes they have chosen are all bacterial, and they want to publish this in a field guide called Microbes, you know, so other scientists can see their work. And they claim that when they create this new pathogen in this way, they can predict its function and when it's likely to occur. Why would you want to unleash it at all? These people are insane. I'm sorry. Through the Consortium of Conservative Medicine Wildlife Trust, they have prepared models to predict risk, pathogen sources, geographic locations of outbreaks. They have computer models that allow them to locate hotspots for disease and watch it progress. Uh-huh. So I find it interesting, the words that these scientists use when they announce their research, their findings, and how this is going to all benefit you. For instance, Stephen Morse, PhD, Columbia University, feels that pathogen research informs us about the, quote, importance of infectious disease. And in what instance does he mean disease is important? Well, hopefully to help eradicate disease and save lives, right? However, I am questioning their intentions because research labs still store smallpox, a disease that man supposedly intentionally defeated. Why keep it around? Why run the risk of it to come out of the box and then, you know, have another outbreak? Well, it's because to them, disease is power. It's a weapon of mass destruction. And for some industries, it can be a real big moneymaker. Well, let's look at these diseases. Now, it's very important to realize what we ourselves are limited in protecting ourselves from. You know, we are individuals, you know, we got to protect ourselves as much as we can from individuals who would want to exploit infectious pathogens. And, you know, God has given us some clues. And if we pay attention, we can protect ourselves without vaccines or drugs. Okay, so in Deuteronomy 28:50-60, verses 59 to 60, God states that his people are fearful of the plagues of Egypt. And he warned them that disobedience would expose them to not only the familiar plagues of Egypt, but also every sickness, every plague, which was not written of in this book, would destroy them, would destroy people. So God knew where science would be going with disease research. And we're instructed to be obedient in Psalms 91. I was telling you about that. And we're given special prayer protection from pestilence. Psalms 91. So God says 10,000 are going to die next to you, but it's not going to touch you. And then in Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 and 30 in Psalms 104:14, God tells us herbs are convenient and for the service of man. And what do you suppose he means? Well, God means that he has given us some natural, powerful medicine to protect our bodies. And the use of antibiotics and vaccines is going to damage his creation and leave us vulnerable. It undermines your natural immune system. So, if herbs weren't any use at all, medicinally, modern medicine would not have used them in the beginning to make their drugs from them. Now they just use synthetic versions. But if herbs didn't have any potential, any power at all, drugs never would have been made from them. So, God has more wisdom than man can ever understand. And so his herbs are packed full of nutrition to supercharge your system to run so efficiently, so completely, so effectively against pathogens. And then, of course, if you're truly believing in God's power and you put your trust in him, he will deliver you from the risks and the threats of all these plagues. So a majority of people will have little to no defense against plagues when they have no immune system that's working because of antibiotics and vaccinations. You're going to have trouble. So if you're taking antibiotics and over-the-counter products, pain relievers, lifelong medicines, for things, non-communicable diseases, you have a system that's not going to work when you need it to. Those products have been crutches, and they don't strengthen a system. We don't want God to count us as slackers and neglect our own due diligence when it comes to our own health. So now, more than ever, we have to be dutiful. We have to make a significant effort to secure organic foods and clean water and our medicinal powerhouses of medicines on a daily basis. We have to get familiar on how to use those herbs, because we're not only going to have to help ourselves, we're going to help each other. So we can use herbs to boost immune system function. We can cleanse away toxins. There's herbs that will reverse snake bites, brown recluse spider bites. There's herbs that have inhibitors built into them for plagues like Ebola, the hemorrhagic fevers. And science knows all about this. It's been written about. But they can't make any money from it, so they don't make a big deal, don't let you know, don't want you to use it. And this is why the big push against supplements and herbs and homeopathic meds, to get rid of them. Because they're a competition, for one, for the pharmaceutical products. But I truly think we're at war against principalities of darkness on many levels. And health is just one of them. Yep, health is just one of them. It makes sense. If you believe in that the devil really exists, why wouldn't he take those institutions that you would typically turn to and count on for help and corrupt them and make them the opposite of what they need to be? Think about it. Corruption's the name of the game. And one of the biggest strategies and tools that the devil will use against you is doubt. Doubt will undermine your efforts in a skinny minute. So you never want to doubt any promises God's made you. Never doubt. You got to believe. Believe, 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 believe with all your heart. No doubts. Not one. All right, so I know, getting into it here. But I just know, when I found out about how great herbs were, I thought it was the world's best kept secret. And it has been. I mean, the knowledge seemed to have been lost for a while. Then it's come back. And so we need to protect it, and we got to protect our rights to have it. And if you don't, there'll come a day when you wish you had. So if you want to learn more, the folks at Apothecary Herbs, they specialize in immune boosting, organ cleansing. If you want to learn how to get off those lifelong drugs and strengthen your system, you give them a call and ask them about that. Get a free product catalog. The number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Thepowerherbs.com. If you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. That's where it's at. Your healthcare options are endless there because it puts the power in your hands. Learn how to do it. Nobody else is going to do it for you. All right, I'm out of time. Goodness, this hour went so fast. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician, if you dare, before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.